April 5, 2020, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Walk for Pedro show. Happy Sunday. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be three in a row here, but why not? And, of course, quit in quarantino mode. So, Brother Matt, 3 miles south of Love God on the Pleasure Point, sequestered. Keep us all healthy. But I'm not total man alone here in my pad because of the software engineers in Estonia and their wonderful Skype invention. I got Ian Pierce, Andrew Bush from Oregon's with me.
Hello?
That's a trip that, you know, I got a patch in my, this pewter here, when it's, volume gets unmounted, it pukes. It happened right when you guys said hi. We start off the show, John Coltrane doing One Up, One Down. That's from that stuff they found a little while ago. And then Five from Oregon's. The last four shows, people, you've heard 1, 2, 3, 4. Somewhere around there, because I've been doing a lot of shows. And this is number 5. But before we get to Oregon stuff, let's go to the roots of the Oregon, which is Ian and Bushy. And Bushy's been on the show before because of late, great Estelle. But Ian ain't. So, Ian, you're there in Belfast, right?
By an hour outside Belfast, down near the Mourne Mountains.
Yeah, what's it called?
Near Newcastle?
Yeah, what's the name called?
Seaford.
Seaford, okay. Now, you don't mean the Newcastle, the Geordie Newcastle.
No, there's a Newcastle in the east of Ireland.
Okay, because that's the one I've been to. I got to go to yours.
And
I will. Oh, yeah, when we get this touring going again, I'm playing every fucking time I can. Anyway, Ian, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Probably my dad's record collection.
So in the house,
John Denver. Yeah, in the house, John Denver, Sergeant Pepper's, and ABBA. Is okay. Pretty much.
Was he mainly a listener, or did he play also?
He was a listener. He said he tried to play guitar when he was growing up in the 50s, but I don't think he got too far with it. I never found out why, whether he struggled with it or whether he gave it up or what it was.
So there was no instruments in the house when you were like a boy? Really young?
No, not until we started school.
Okay. Do you remember the first record you bought yourself?
Yeah, it was Stan Ridgway.
Oh, the singer of All of Voodoo.
Ah, I have that record, man.
What was it called?
Camouflage.
Did I play bass on there with some guy? There was one song where he had two basses. And
I don't know if it was that one.
Well, it was just called Stan Ridgway. It's when he left Wall of Voodoo.
Okay. Yeah, it was a solo album, but I didn't find that out until a few years ago. I just remembered the single, knew nothing about him. Just like,
yeah, Ian, I was going to ask you, what made you choose that record?
I think I'd heard it on the radio, and I just liked it because he wasn't singing, he was talking, and it was just one big story kind of thing.
Mm. That was a big hit over here, what?
The big hit for us was Wall of Voodoo, Mexican radio.
Great.
Yeah.
And then they got another singer after him, and this guy also wrote a play called White Trash Wins Lottery or something. It was like the story of Axl Rose.
Okay.
His name was Andy Preboy or something. Yeah, but we lost the drummer to cancer, Joe Nannini. He's a great drummer, man. And also the guitar guy. There was two brothers, Morlands, and the bass one's still around, but we lost Mark. I think it was Mark, yeah. They were in a band called The Skulls. Great song called The Victim in those days. But anyway, back to you, Ian. At school, did you sing in the choir or be in the marching band or shit like that?
I was in the orchestra playing violin. I was the lead violin.
First chair?
Yeah.
Now, how did you get? How did you get that? Did you go looking for it?
No, kind of everyone was encouraged to play violin, and I kind of play something, and I just kind of stuck at it.
Okay, and how old were you when you started?
Probably about 8 or 9.
Did you go all the way?
I went to until I left school, then I never picked it up again.
Yeah. So you did it all through school. So, like, you learned to read, you were doing classical music?
Yeah, I was doing classical. I always wanted to do the more traditional Irish stuff.
Yeah.
But I had to do the classical because we were putting on those shows.
Okay.
So it's kind of, when I didn't have to be taught things anymore, I kind of decided to give it up.
Yeah. Well, what about after school? Like in the basement or the bedroom or the garage with your buddies, like make a little band?
Yeah, we had a band called Knob, N-O-B. And that was like before that it was P. McB, and everybody wanted to play guitar. And I got the short straw and was the bass player.
How the old days were.
That's how I started. Yeah, because everyone was like, no, I want to play guitar. Yeah, I want to play guitar. And
that's right. You wouldn't believe how many great bass players come out of that situation, because that's how you got gigs, because no one wanted to do it.
Yeah. So I had my electric guitar. I had this Hohner Strat copy, and I used to play the bottom two strings.
What made you get that guitar?
It was in an ad in the newspaper.
No, I mean, obviously you were playing violin, right, in school. So on the other side,
and then
you wanted, in your mind, you said, man, I want to learn guitar.
Yeah, so I got bought an acoustic guitar, and I played that for a while, and I decided I wanted an electric.
Yeah.
So I was sitting in the house teaching myself Cream and Deep Purple and that kind of stuff.
Off of records.
Yeah.
That's the way me and D Boone learned.
Yeah, I don't think I was right, but I was. Some of the notes were right, I think.
Not a lot of R's.
Yeah.
And in fact, D Boone had the record player. I have this motherfucking new thing called 8-track. So don't have to wait for the motherfucker to come back around.
Couldn't
lift the needle up. It was fucked up.
That's a shit format, man.
Yeah, but you could play them in cars.
That was
the big advantage. But you couldn't record on them hardly. There was a couple of machines, but it was cassettes that was the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ian, so you're man alone teaching yourself off records, but then you start playing with your buddies and you make a band.
Yeah. And we don't play anywhere. We just play in the spare room of the house, and we just do covers like Velvet Underground, and then I'm trying to sneak in stuff like Big Black and things like that into the mix.
Did you ever start writing songs?
I didn't until a few years later.
Okay.
I was just happy kind of playing along at that stage.
Sure. And so does this band go after high school?
Yeah, we probably for a couple of years, and then it kind of fizzled out.
But you never did a gig?
We never did a gig with those guys.
Actually,
no.
In the old days, there was a lot of that shit where you never... I know guys that never done gigs but played for 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what was so great about the movement, because people went out and did gigs even if they didn't really know how to play yet.
Yeah, my first four bands never played.
Yeah, can you believe that shit? I mean, I can understand, you know, you doing it just for the love of music. But you add on another dimension when you actually take it to people.
yeah, absolutely.
So, Ian, tell me about the first band that you played in that played in front of people.
Who would that have been? I think that would have been Digger. About 96, Digger, yeah.
Oh, Digger, okay.
Digger.
I don't know. Everybody's got their own slang, you know. Anyway, so what was Digger like?
It was kind of indie rock with a bit of punk rock, but it was my first time sitting down and trying to write songs as well.
Ah, great.
I didn't realize how hard it was to write words.
Yeah, yeah. And so how did Digger work out? Did you guys play around? Did you get to record?
We, luckily enough, the guitarist lived up the road, and he had a four-track. So we used to go up and record stuff in his garage. So we actually recorded a ton of stuff, but we only ever played two gigs.
Okay. But you did record a lot. That's cool. And a lot of original?
Yeah. It was pretty much all original. I think the only cover we ever did was like a Bob Mould thing or something like that.
Great, man. Okay, I want to play Split Red here. You know, Minutemen had a song called this.
Fall apart, my own tears. I accept the blame. lost my truck. I killed them all, cut them down, felled them with an axe or two, and I choked them with my mitts. I've killed them all, cut them out, used my fair share of guns, and I can damn sure swing a bat. I've killed them all. Shot me an engine on the Rio Grande, near my kin, face down in the sand. He had blue grease in his hair and red on his hands. I killed them all, cut them down, felled them with an axe or two, and I choked them with my mitts. I've killed them all, took them out, used my fair share of guns, and I'm a damn sure swing a bat. I've killed them all. Joke about his lip cut into the bone. One swat to his head and he fell all wrong. I killed them all, I took them out, felled them with an axe or two, and I choked them with my mitts. I've killed them all, took them out, used my fair share of guns, and I can damn sure swing a bat. I've killed them all, hanged me a Yankee in San Marquez. Was only one with horse enough to chase his ass. Gave me a noose and a silver badge. I killed them all, took them down, stab them with all kind of blades, and I beat them with my fists. I killed them all, took them down. Been known to drown a man, and I'm given to twisted necks. I've killed them all. Now I'm old and broke in the metro. Trade this set of wheels for a pair of legs. Got one bullet left, hunting my own head. I killed him all, took him down, stabbed him with all kind of blades, and I beat him with my fists. I killed them all, took them down. I've been known to drown a man, and I'm given a twisted necks. I've killed them all, I killed them all.
Right from afternoon into twilight, late Sunday groove into semi-night, weave into the dark, grasped by headlights up and down hills, and following those lights of the semi-night, share the road with truckers on my personal flight. long, driving long into the semi-night, following a favorite, not drafting, but safe following distance, plunge ahead past the lanes, passing the lines, follow that truck through the night, the semi-night, till I get there and relax out of sight, stopped and rested from the semi-night.
Shot the tight sign, not even a clean. good one. I'm terribly calm. Terribly calm. I am. I'm flying on tight with approximately 24 different emotions, keeping it buoyant. None of them anger, not a single one. No me escape for me. I'm gonna take off and go on to them. Like, shake the tides on.
No, actually, it wasn't scripted. Like, they didn't know how to end the fucking movie, and Marlon Brando just ad lib. You know, he don't like to memorize lines anyway.
But yeah.
He saved the fucking movie. Okay, people, that was Split Red, The Man Who Fell on His Own Spear. That's a band Ian was in after Digger a couple years later. We'll get into that later. Gareth Sager after that was something he did under this Quentin Carr. Quarantino mode on his piano called Velvets. He gave me a couple of days ago. Guy by Voices with Questions of the Test. I Am Perfectly Fine by Bill's Pump out of Leeds. Lucy Lee with Trash Talk after out of Oxford. Yeah, great bass. Great drums in Bill's Pump. Fuck.
Both
those bands. The cats can cook. I actually got to share the stage in Leeds with Bill's Pump. And you know, there was a band before them called Solanke, that fucking
They did some
kind of riff on Buzzer Howl. You know, it's a trip.
Yeah,
you know, Chuck Jankowski wrote me an email talking to me about Buzzer Howl, and we talked about Ethan James and shit. It's weird how everything comes around when you're sequestered.
Yeah.
Skips a Fuel out of Amarillo with Goon. Joe Brewer, that's Jack Brewer from Sacratus, cousin Madison, the Semi-Night. Trotsky Ice Pick, first music 20 years from them. That's John Jones of Urinals with Kel, the guitar guys. But John don't do bass. He got another bass dude. He's like lead singer, man. Sugar Skulls. And then something called Minnows with the exclamation point. Gray Around the Liver. And then Bad Dates, Side to Side Grin. So I think, Ian, you can enlighten us to those units, the last two units here.
I can, yeah.
Okay, so how does Digger lead up to Split Red?
Digger kind of stops. Guitarist is moving away. I'm getting more into punk rock music, but don't really know anyone else who is. until I meet there's an ad in a guitar shop, and it's a guy looking to start a band, needs a bass player, must like Husker Du and heavy metal. So I decided to go in for that, and then that ended up becoming Split Red.
Okay. Where'd you pick that name? Is it just coincidence?
No, we picked the name because we're both listening to lots of Minutemen.
Okay, do you know there's two versions?
I do, yeah.
There's one on the Beast Billy P, and there's one on What Makes a Man Start Fires.
Yeah, it was the What Makes a...
I guess
I don't know. It's because there was the project, one of the Project Merce CDs that we had. It obviously would have had the Bean Spill one.
Yeah, but Ian, the post Merce, there's three post Merce CDs, and they were just a way of getting the vinyl onto CD format in the most economical way. I didn't think it was fair to like make one CD for each release, so I just crammed everything I could on them three CDs. Later on, they parted it out to like one CD a release. But that was in my idea.
All right.
The post Merce thing was, you know, after Project Merce, right? Now we're CDs, right? After we write hit songs, we're going to make you rebuy your whole record collection again. Yeah, that's where my heart bleeds Pink Lemonade when they hear about how the record industry went under. It was greed. It was greed, and it backfired.
Yeah.
They called Afghanistan on the CIA blowback. Yeah, it's called blowback. I guess it was with Vietnam and the Soviets, Afghanistan was to them. You know, a lot of when people get too fucking clever and push people around like pawns, sometimes it blows back. So I'm wondering, which one do you think was earlier version, Bean Spill or What Makes a Man Start Fires?
I don't know.
It was Bean Spill, because Bean Spill comes from the same session. If you know Politics of Time, there's about the first six songs. It's from that session with Mike Patton. Not Mike Patton, the Mr. Bungo guy, but Mike Patton, the bass player from Middle Class.
Yeah,
he produced the Adolescence album.
Yeah.
And he was played bass and sang for Eddie in the subtitles.
Okay.
Anyway, enough of that lecture. Sorry. Get back to your story. So what happens with Split Red, Ian?
We play a lot in Warzone in Belfast, which was the DIY punk venue, screen printing, cafe, that kind of place.
Okay. Did you ever tour?
We went over and played over in Bradford in England, and played down in Dublin. I think our first gig there was with Estelle. Probably when I met Bushy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what happens with Split Red? Did they split?
We had a tour planned. Our drummer was from Australia. She didn't tell us her visa was about to expire. We booked the tour, and then she pretty much told us she couldn't do it.
Man, that was inconvenient.
Yeah, so it was. Yeah. So she went back to Australia.
Just broke it off in your ass, you know. Okay. So what's next? Is it Minnows or Bad Dates? That sounds like a bad date.
There's about 20 other bands before that, like all through the 2000s, but a lot didn't record.
Okay. So these are more recent projects then?
Yeah, they would be Minnows 2012. That was just, we just wanted to do like a fast hardcore band that no one else seemed to be doing around Ireland at the time.
Okay.
A lot of the last Estelle gigs were with Minnows.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Because I would have
who was in Minnows?
Estelle on up in Belfast. Graham, who was in Split Red. He played guitar in Minnows, and Jamie, friend of mine who was in Low End and moved down to Dublin, he did vocals, and then Michael from Comply or Die was on drums.
Four piece?
Yeah.
And then what happened? You guys got in the net? I mean, what happened? You got the hook?
Like everything else, somebody quit. Okay. And we couldn't get a replacement after we'd recorded a bunch of stuff and we're about to put it out.
So right on the verge again, man. These guys are fucking winners. A lot of winners. Okay, so Bad Dates. Has this got Graham too?
Bad Dates has Graham as well, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'm noticing a pattern.
Yeah, yeah. He's in and out over the years.
But Graham, but Graham ain't in Oregon.
He isn't, no. He's not.
Okay.
He was asked to be, but he didn't feel up to it.
He really was asked to be. Okay, so this is kind of old music buddy of yours, then.
He is, yeah. I've known him for 20 odd years.
Those things are precious, I'll tell you, long relationships like that. It doesn't mean every band's got to be together, but at least there's something about, you know, I just did 20 years of touring with Tom Watson. And, man, I thought about that.
Oh, right. God damn. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I only knew D. Boone 15, 16 years, the whole life.
Yeah, it's a fucking trip
about stuff like that. You know what I mean? So there must be something special about Graham. Is he doing music right now?
He's not. He had heart surgery last year. Ooh. He's still playing guitar, but he says he's still writing some stuff, but he hasn't, you know, hasn't been out practicing or anything like that.
Well, if he records something, will you flow it my way so I can play it on the show? I'm interested.
Oh, yeah. Of course I will.
You know, and especially the roots of the tree. I mean, we're going to get into a...
He actually, one time that you, whenever you played Belfast with the Second Men, it was one of Graham and I's bands that opened up for you.
Was he the guy sitting in the chair, kind of big guy?
Big, tall guy.
Oh, he's a tall guy. Okay.
Maybe. But this is back in like 2002 or something like that.
That's all right. I still call those the new days. You guys, two.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. Of the April 5th, 2020 edition Walk for Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two with Organs. April 5th, 2020, it's the second hour of the Walk for Pedro show.
taka 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 taka
special. No one told me this was heaven. Every single thing that's good in life is right inside at a friendly price. All the workers, they all smile at you. They want to help you. Every single thing you need in life can be yours at the lowest price. All you need is enter Costco doors and it's yours. Yours. If you're searching what to buy, even though you know not why, you can ask a friendly neighbor. They might help you if they're able. Wander through, explore the magic. It's all there, nothing tragic. Take a chance and try on pants. They might make you want to dance. Your desire makes the world so fine, makes the music in your head divine, turns your living into paradise, so shop at Costco. Other people, they don't know, it's the end of the rainbow. Stop your searching everywhere you go, it's all at Costco. Costco, you just need Costco.
For Pedro Show, we start off the second hour with Estelle doing My Raymond is Contagious. Raymond's in New York City, a couple blocks from the mayor's office. Hunker down, Raymond. Daddy Don't, we had from Knoxville, Maggie Brennan on, and that's one of her projects. You know, that's one of those kind of, you don't have to have cuss words to make your band name sound weird, you know.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
time we played up in the city with this band, they were called Uncle Bob Touch Me. I mean, there's no dirty words.
Uncle Bob Touch Me.
Yeah, so Daddy Don't, you know, you just, you know, images are conjured, you know, branded upon the brain. Stand Fast after that with Forward Motion. Andre Vita out of Berlin. She stuck, that's Lisa Said. She stuck in Lisbon. I told her there's a big experimental scene in Lisbon right now. Andre Vita with Shishki Kong, Berlin. The Veil up the city. People don't know that he was part, there was a six-member version of Blue Cheer, and he was the organ man.
And that's oh, he knew that?
That's right.
I knew that.
He does the research magazines. Yeah.
Overlap.
The old V-Vale, the old up in the city, they had Search and Destroy, that was the name of the magazine.
And, yeah.
Then he did something called Research, and the real stuff with, you know, William S. Burroughs and
Genesis PRH.
That's right, and yeah, interesting guy, V-Vale, great guy.
Yeah.
Podcast pad a few times, Marianne. That's called Song for Costco, and finally, Sir Kill-A-Lot. 0405. Now, Sir Kill-A-Lot and Estelle both had the same drummer. And actually,
yeah.
They shared another member too, I think, Andy, who was bass for Estelle, and then guitar for Sir Kill-A-Lot. What's Sir Kill-A-Lot? I mean, Bush has been on the show before, people so talk about his early days, but I don't know about Sir Kill-A-Lot, and we're also going to play some Dot Dash. After, but he's going to give us a spiel right now. Go ahead, Bush.
Sir Kill-A-Lot says that it was a hardcore band that I did just after. My first band that played gigs was the Waltons, which was kind of a Dr. Selma band, you know?
Okay.
Like, and then we did a hardcore band with a friend of mine called Liam, and that turned into Sir Kill-A-Lot. But I, when that started, it was a guy called Richie Egan, and Richie Egan is kind of made a name for himself playing kind of electronic pop music now. But so Sir Kill-A-Lot did three releases, and every release had a different singer or guitarist, you know? So
I wouldn't know unless you told me, so I'm glad you did, Bushy.
Yeah, me and Liam and then a bunch of other guys. And the album that you would have...
That's sort of like the story of Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. Exactly, same two the same rhythm section and different front people every time.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was the first band we played in with Andy, and I still play in Andy with Andy in Yurt now. So yeah, we've been playing with Andy.
I've played a lot of Yurt on the show. It's a big, that's an adventure band. Man, a lot of parts.
Yeah, man. Lots.
Yeah, let's play some Dot Dash.
We go from turning up dollies to jumping in trolleys, and that's just worries while you're ordering. Cause you don't call your friends to touch your hand. Don't bend your break. How much can you take? Unwell, you fucked it up. Unwell, you drank too much. Unwell, you left me in the lurch. Unwell, you puked in church. But who gives a shit anyway? Just some ones with too much time on their hands. Fuck 'em. Fuck 'em. To look straight, put that foot now on the brake. Take what you will, and you're going too fast. Past all the towns, and the pigs just flash. Run around, stone crack with drink. Next day, what will the people think? Run around like MRs. Next day, what will they whisper? Fucking, what's the deal with him? Fucking, look at the state of him. Fucking, shove that mail on him. Fucking, throw that book at him. Fucking, does it sloppily. No girlfriend, well, not properly. On his parents' property. Went to get buy some property. But who gives a shit anyway? Just some pricks with too much money on their hands. Fuck 'em. Fuck 'em. Cause we need you here. You do very much. Like a good sugar boy, we can't get enough. so. Work is who you are, you know. XXO, tic-tac-toe. Home is just a place to go, where the boys are dying and the girls are crying. And they go out driving, don't go back alive. And what good is anyone dead and gone? Get along, got gone. No Kurt Cobain. Stick around now for regain. Is loving your life on the way? And there's loving your life now on the way. Now I don't want to get polemic. This here is an epidemic. So I have to let you know. Have to let you know your friends love you. Have to let you know my friends love you. Have to let you know your folks love you. Have to let you know the girls love you.
sen, o nie film, to što je njego tata bio. Kad je tvornicu upropastio. On je zlatan, tati je sin, on je pošten, on je fin, uvijek je u pravoj stranci. On je dobar, tatin sin, on je pošten, on je fin, spomenicu rata ima. Bio je u Beču, hvalio se svima. On je dobar, tatin sin, on je pošten, on je fin, novi auto ima. Ukrao ga je invalidima. Obite poštena.
than a nod, maintaining connection. Looking through the window at the dead sign. A consensual hallucination experienced by billions of legitimate operators. Primary gratification, meticulous reconstructions. Preoccupied prescription lenses, framed in spidery gold. Disembodied voice echoes on scrolls of yellow printout. He said,
watch me rise, call me hazardous, engage at the rage. Page after page of this age in the cage on minimum wage.
Put the cheddar in the pocket, put the rest into the jacket. What do you do? Do it right now. Put the cheddar in the pocket, put the rest into the jacket. What do you do? Do it right now.
Dropping them bitches, taking all day long to mop that kitchen. Don't cut me on dishes, dropping them bitches, taking all day long to mop that kitchen. Don't cut me on dishes, dropping them bitches, taking all day long to mop that kitchen.
Put the cheddar in the pocket, put the rest into the jacket. What do you do? Do it right now. Put the cheddar in the pocket, put the rest into the jacket. What do you do? You won't fit the keys, I roll up a pizza. Don't you forget, MC got pizza. Focus, focus for the keys, focus on low cost, focus for the joker. Make it hopeless when they notice. Know the lack of magnum opus. Oliver, ask the man for more. You hang by the door with the gang with a roar. Diamonds on my dreams, diamonds on my dreams. I'm not the worst, we burst as a team. Others implode, we explode. From the French, you can't measure my own load. Make quick the getaway when shame is only back step away. But for now, we're stepping, jumping, leaping, and offering my step for all the people. Yeah, ready, yeah, equal. You better get ready for the sequel. Yeah. Put the cheddar in the pocket, put the
I thought we were on earlier.
No. It was hard for you to know. You're a couple miles away. Okay. But people, we just heard Dot Dash do an Epidemic, the power ballad version. Then Craig Bell out of Cleveland with, he's in Indianapolis nowadays, but he's originally Cleveland. He was bass player for Rocket for the Tombs. Be Here Now. Tatton Sin. From Ned O'Millick Cooperative. He's living in Trieste these days. Ibora, right? The big old fucking wind that comes up there. And also, Mr. Joyce started his Ulysses in that town. He was teaching English at one of the Berlitz schools. It says, and when you open up, Trieste, Zurich, Paris, right? Chris Burns out of Canada with Wish. Stoma out of Rotterdam. Neon, yeah, one's a country, one's a city. You know, I remember the first time we came back as Minutemen from our first Europe tour, and the guys in Pedro thought Holland was a town in Switzerland. Yeah, we're some dumb motherfuckers. And then finally, do a runner, Dot Dash. Now, give us the story of Dot Dash here, Bush.
So, Dot Dash is the name of the record. The band is Queen Kong, You're Only Massive.
Okay, so I fucked that up. I got to change that in the playlist.
That's okay.
But what's the spelling? Send me an email with the fucking spelling so I don't fuck that up too.
So basically what it was that Queen Kong were this band from Cork who had moved to Dublin. I know you used to know. I met them when Estelle used to put them on, and they were interesting. You know, Amy could really sing, which was kind of rare, and they had a weird way about them. They were kind of fucking weirdos.
You know the first musician I heard from Cork, or around there?
Yeah.
Rory Gallagher.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him blow Jethro Tull off the stage at the Coliseum here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Tull were hit and miss, man.
And in fact, the last gig I did at DiPiazza's, because Mark DiPiazza's, I started the set off with Hands Up.
Yeah.
I think he played with two guys in Belfast. They were the drummer. And the bass guy stayed with them a long-ass time. They were always changing drummers. But, man, could that guy... You know, everybody thinks of Thin Lizzy, and they're a great rock band, too. But, man, the first guy I know was Roy Gallagher. Anyway, Queen Kong?
Yeah, so we knew the guys in Queen Kong. They were... At the time, they were a couple. They're not a couple now. And they lived...
That's good to know, Bushy.
You know, just in case, you know. You really like her voice,
I'm sequestered.
So anyhow, I used to hang around with them, and they were playing with this other band called You're Only Massive. They were like this two girls. And basically they decided to make an album between them because it was all electronic based, and Dave was a really good producer. So Dave made this album, and he put in a lot of basic, you know, just electronic drum pieces. And I went round to his house one time. He went, oh, come round and do some drums. So he had a 9-pad Boss sampler with a lot of drum samples, and just basically went to me, here's a set of headphones, listen to the songs and play drums. So we played drum parts on lots of it, and then he cut it all up and sequenced it all back in. And So when I listen to it, I can't tell what I played a lot of the time, if that makes sense.
You can't tell what's the electronic drums, because you were firing samples.
Yeah, basically, I was playing little bars and stuff, and then he'd take the bar and sit it down, and he'd go, you know, play a bunch of toms here, and I do a lot of toms, and then he'd just take the little foil and sit it in somewhere. And
Right. Now, you know, Dot Dash it was never on an album, but... It was a wire single.
That's a great single.
Yeah. It's really early. I think it's early on. I think it's between the first and second album. And yeah, here's where I really remember that song. Minutemen and Husker Du are playing one of the top floors of Danceteria, New York City.
Yeah.
And before, yeah, and it was all decorated all weird, like Communist Party of Your Trip thing. And we're just about to go on stage, and they play that fucking song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And amazing. So I'll always remember that. This big gig with Husker Du in New York City, and we're going to go on after a Wire song, dot dash. Yeah, that was a trip. So this Queen Kong, it was just you didn't do gigs with him.
No. It was one of those things where we just wanted to play on it. They were my friends, and I loved the song. So,
some things are, you know. That's the righteous thing about recording. It can be like that. Just think of how you tore the wrestling record with fucking 48 dudes in the boat. Fuck. Now, what about this Sir Kill-A-Lot? Did they do gigs?
Oh, hundreds.
Okay, so different thing.
Yeah, we were a really good live band, and we had a decent following. Like, we get a lot of people that come, and they know the songs, and whereas recorded, we rarely caught the feel of the live thing, you know?
Yeah.
You played Warzone, didn't you?
Yeah, we played fucking everywhere, man.
I'll tell you, a big example of that is, I don't know, you remember this SoCal band called The Last?
Yeah.
They have this great first single called She Don't Know Why I'm Here. And the organ player of Avitas produced it. He also produced the Urinal stuff. But then they do this album, and it sounds so lame. It's so tiny sounding. Yeah, I think it's called L.A. Explosion or something.
Yeah.
But it ain't exploding. Actually, Joe Nolte lives here in Pedro now.
Okay. I think with a...
You know, the Black Flag guys really looked up to him, especially Chuck Dukowski. Billy Stevenson, too, from Descendants. Joe Nolte was the songwriter guy to aspire to for those guys when I met him.
Yeah.
And I saw the last at the Whiskey with the Nerves. Nerves had a guitar man who wrote that song, Hanging on the Telephone.
Hanging on the Telephone, yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour. We're going to get to organ history. April 5, 2020. Rock People Show special guest organs. Hold tight for hour three. April 5, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
kashata, mama ashata de la masuya, de masuya, de la lande de pecheta la mondo romusha.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, in the middle of those two records getting recorded is when Minuteman came in. We did the fucking Minute Flag thing.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff that came out, and I like those two records. They're trippy, by Flag.
Yeah, they're trippy. Them all, man.
Yeah, I like it all. I like it all. Okay, start off the third hour with Septic Rabbits in the Bunker. Estelle, Tullum with Desert Delirium, the Baja Boy with Blessed House of Wahovia. That's AJ. He used to play bass in a band called Donkey. Of course, he moved to guitar. Crane. Well, it happens with the drummies, too. Look at Dave. Look at Grant.
Yeah.
You know. Right. And, you know, fucking Chico Hamilton had to fight. He couldn't get songwriting credits. Drummers can't write songs. This is in the 60s. Georgie Bing.
Yeah.
Chico Hamilton fan. Crane with Society Shame up in Idaho. He's a pimp. Mold Omen out of Baltimore with Information Solver. And finally, 615, Shaquille O'Neal. So tell me, how did Oregon get together?
Well, look, I know Ian so long, and we'd see each other occasionally, and just, you know, I buy records from Ian. Ian sells vinyl and stuff. So just one of the times we were speaking a couple of years ago, I remember just, if I'm not mistaken, I think I just said to Ian, oh, if you ever need a drummer, just give me a shout, basically. And then over to Ian.
Take it, Ian.
Yeah, I've been in bad dates. It just kind of stopped after we'd recorded a bunch of stuff and didn't kind of finish off the recording. And I was just thinking about all the bands over the years that I didn't record with, or the recordings didn't do anything with them. And I just thought, you know, like, time's marching on here. I want to keep playing. I want to keep doing stuff. I want to start challenging myself a bit as well. So I thought, right, been listening to lots of instrumental, lots of jazz, lots of punk rock. Let's see if I can get a bunch of people together and just do something off the cuff. And initially I put the word out on social media, and I didn't think more than about two people would have wanted to get involved. But I got about a dozen people, and then some people fell by the wayside and ended up with it, which was great.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to the nuts and bolts. What was the first fucking come together like?
First come together was that first track that you heard. It just, we were kind of, I thought we were tuning up, but they'd already pressed record, and off we went. And 73 minutes later, we kind of looked at each other and went, yeah, that kind of worked pretty well.
So eventually, man.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, everything that you've heard just comes from that first day. Okay. Everything came from that session. We'd never sat in a room together before.
Well, let me ask you.
It was me.
I haven't met some people before.
Let me ask you. Was there a discussion about what you were going to try to do?
No.
Okay. Nope.
It was like, you know, let the freak flag fly.
Yeah. It was it was the same as the sessions I did with you, Watt, where we just go in the room and play.
Okay.
And that was it. We just played and stuff came out, and some of it was really good and some of it was not as good.
Ah, so you edited stuff down, like Miles on the Corner and shit. You were done recording stuff. You edited pieces. I'm not saying you put pieces together, but you faded in.
We cut stuff out, yeah. Not that it was bad, it's just to fit on the tape.
We needed
to make a 15-minute each side.
Sure.
But the CD just came out, you know, as was. That was like the one whole take.
Here, let me play some Estelle.
Thank you. This was me.
Like a Z.
To do with me.
The kids are scared to go to
can you do? The man's a fool.
They barred the bathroom, took away the ride.
Why do they feel the need to fight? I don't mind fitting eyes. As long as the money's right. I'm ready to die, and I don't want to feel obliged. I'm ready for the sight of my eyes exposed to daylight. Don't make me face the
This is our last song. Thank you again. If anyone wants CDs, officer, or whatever, I'll have a box of stuff over on the left. We've got to clear the stage pretty quick when we finish. Thank you again. Good night.
Walk for Pedro show, last music for this edition. Push the Nut Button by Estelle. San Arno with Mr. Z. Killed by Death by a thrust at Mountain Offensive, which is Brother Phil up in Big Bear. Nicholas Mayers with Domestic Dispute. And finally, someone should blow that sick fuck out of his socks. Estelle Live.
That's good, man.
And Estelle, when's the last time they played together? It was a while ago, right?
2013, probably.
7 years, wow.
Yeah, we so much unfinished stuff, man, but there's just, it's so hard to sell a fucking record now, as you know. And then when you don't even have a band.
Yeah.
You know?
Is Tommy still doing music? He had that thing about In the Woods, right?
Yeah, he still makes records, man. He's still recording. He's I was actually speaking to him recently about maybe myself and him and some other guys, and Ian included, maybe at some point recording something with Tommy in the vein of, you know, trying some improv and seeing what happens. And yeah, Tommy has like a bunch of children now, man.
Bunch of children, and he has a studio?
Yeah, and he works for RTE, which is the big, you know, it's our main broadcaster. He works as a sound engineer for those guys now.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah,
I think last time I saw him, he was just having his first baby, or his wife was.
Yeah, he's up to it. Okay. I think his fourth kid is on the way now.
We recorded at that horse stable.
Yeah, Ashtown.
Yeah. That was great.
Cool.
You know, that we could fucking do that, get right on a plane and do Stooge gig that night. Brother Steve, I miss him a lot. What's the next plans for the organs?
Gonna book another recording session when everything kind of calms down a bit. And I think we've got going to have another couple of people have expressed interest.
What about trading files?
Some people who couldn't do last time and some others.
What about, in the meantime, trading files?
We could try that, but...
I can't get into my rehearsal room until all this shit is over, so...
You can't Queen Kong guys to come over and let you do some digital drum?
I'd rather us all go get in a room and not have any idea.
Have to postpone the last the two tours I have coming up. But Ian, the situation.
Well, that's it, man. I'm at home sick from work at the moment. They think I have coronavirus, so.
Oh, bushy shit.
Oh, look, it's not so bad. It feels like a fucking chest infection, but it's because I work in healthcare.
Yeah.
I'm 2 weeks out now, so.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of something in between. Of course, Ian, the best thing is to be in the same room jamming together, believe me. I ain't practicing my second man or my missing man either. But I am trading files. I'm trying to do something.
Some of us are kind of more, you know, what they've been up to.
Pizzo's trying, you know, we got a studio in his yard, Casa Hanzo, and we're trying to set that up for live streaming. So we're going to try to be able to do gigs, you know. We just got to deal with this situation. I don't think we should just lay down.
No, absolutely. Look, it'll pass, man. It'll pass. We got to keep working, though.
Yeah. So in the meantime, I just like what you guys are doing. I love this organs, the five pieces that you've given me, and I'm hoping for 50 more.
You'll get them. Don't worry.
Now, where can people find you guys on the internet?
We're on Bandcamp, Organs Belfast. Bandcamp is where you'll get.
There's no Organs website.
No, just the Bandcamp at present.
Okay, so
that's all you need.
You would go to organs.bandcamp.com.
Organsbelfast.bandcamp.com.
Oh, okay, thanks. Because I really think you should have a website because. I was in love with fanzines, and to me, a website is like your own fanzine.
Yeah, man.
There's no filter. I think Bandcamp is the best thing for trying to get live music out there.
Yeah.
Okay, right now. Yeah, I think it's a lot better than all the other jive shit, you know. But as far as having your own websites, I got having your own fanzine.
Maybe when we have more news, we'll get a website.
Yeah. We'll get one of them WordPress ones for free, you know?
We could do it.
Okay.
Sell one, like.
It's been a big honor. I go way back with Bushy. I think 2004 is the first time I played with him at fucking Wayland's.
Yeah.
So 2005.
2004. Yeah, my dad had just died, or he was dying at the time, I remember.
Yeah, so sorry.
Yeah.
But
interesting. It's a long time, man.
That's right. But as long as I know D-Boom. So thanks for being there for me, Bushy. Thank you so much. And Ian, thanks for coming aboard.
Really, not a problem.
Guys, keep on keeping on. I'm really interested in seeing the next chapter. People, it's been April 5, 2020 edition of Live for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.